Chapter 26, Repossessed. Melissa was walking along the beach of Ngalawa Bay. It was close to the housing complex they lived in. The view was beautiful, and it was sunny and warm as usual. The warmth enveloped her. The breeze played with her hair and brushed it against her back and shoulders. Sometimes it tickled her skin in a way that reminded her of her nakedness. She could smell the salty sea and the aroma of fresh seaweed. The breeze was gentle yet persistent, carrying with it the cries of seagulls and the distant hum of life from the village behind her. The beach itself was a broad expanse of soft golden sand that felt warm under Melissa's bare feet. Palm trees lined the coast. Their leaves provided patches of shade. The water was a clear, inviting blue, and the waves rolled in with a rhythmic sound that was both soothing. Around her, life continued unabated. Fisher boats bobbed on the horizon, some approaching the shore with their nets full, the fishermen calling out to each other. Closer to the water's edge, slaves, their naked bodies gleaming with sweat and salt, were busy unloading the day's catch. Their movements were practiced, and each slave had his neck enclosed in a steel collar. As she walked, she saw slaves collecting litter from the beach. She heard the sounds of conversations from tourists and locals enjoying the beach, and the laughter of children playing near the water. When she had first arrived here, it had been odd walking around naked like this, but she had become used to being naked to an extent. In situations like now, when she was walking on her own along the beach, her nudity felt good. She felt the sun and the wind on her body and the sand under her feet. Her nakedness put her more in touch with the world around her. The soles of her feet had become more resistant as well. She could walk for a longer time with no pain in her feet. It also helped that the people around her weren't paying much attention to her. They were going about their own business. She caught many glances because she was pretty and because she was white, and she didn't mind that. After a few moments, the people went about their business again. But there were other times when her nakedness did bother her. That was when she was at the pool, and she saw Marcus or the pensioners looking at her. They were looking at her with sexual interest. This bothered her. At the same time, they remained fully clothed and didn't have to present themselves with the same vulnerability she had to. They should not be allowed to see her like this, to gratify their desire to see her nude. It should be her decision if she wanted to grant a man this privilege. If they wanted to see her naked, they had to make an effort. Win her over with dates, with being charming, maybe some gifts. And then she would decide if they were worthy of seeing her naked. But with her enforced nudity, everyone could see her naked. It bothered her because this cheapened her. No one had to do anything for her to see her naked. These were the situations in which she was still bothered by her nakedness, and she didn't know if she would ever get used to that. She walked on the sandy beach, but didn't have an eye for the beauty around her. Arbeck had left with Zahara a few days ago. Normally, she would have seen him off at the airport, but that would have meant riding the bus going to the airport, and she had no intention of spending hours in some trailer cage again. Arbeck fully understood that. After that, there hadn't been much to do for her. Tariq let her do whatever she wanted. In the previous days, she had joined the group on their outings, not because she really wanted to, but because she felt suspicious about Zahara and didn't want to give her any chance to cozy up to Arbeck. She planned on breaking up with Arbeck anyway, but she needed him to be on her side. And so she told them that she wanted to join and see more of Grabesh with them, but mainly she didn't want Zahara to be with Arbeck without her, and for that, she had paid dearly. She had been made to kneel during their visits to cafes and restaurants. She had her hands cuffed or zip-tied a few times when they went into a grocery store for hygiene reasons. And of course, the general indignity of being singled out as the one member of the group who was naked. Arbeck seemed to have found some pleasure in her being naked, He no longer had to engage in some foreplay to negotiate taking her clothes off. To him, she was always ready for the taking. He just had to take his own clothes off. And there was something about getting so much sun that made her get aroused more quickly. She wasn't used to much sun in England, and the little sun they did get mostly touched her face and her hands. But here the sun was not just more intense, but in her naked state, she absorbed it with all of her skin. And without the protection of clothes, she constantly felt her entire environment more intensely. When she walked, she felt the different types of ground under her feet. When she sat, she felt the texture of the carpet under her butt cheeks. Even when she was just walking, she felt the wind dance on her entire body, on her breasts, her abdomen, her vagina, and between her legs. And she felt her hair on her back. There was just so much more sensation on her skin. She wondered if the constant stimulation of wide areas of her skin made her become aroused more quickly. She regularly yielded to his advances. She couldn't constantly hold a grudge against him. And if she kept him satisfied, he would be less receptive to whatever Zahra might be planning. And she had expected to be freed soon, and the prospect of this and being free soon had put her in a good mood. From a distance, Melissa spotted two dark figures, a couple, she guessed, drawing near. As they came closer, her heart skipped a beat as she recognized Nala and Killian approaching. Her initial reaction was one of surprise, mixed with a twinge of dread. Remembering the invasive procedures and the humiliating times she had endured under their care at the health office. Good grief, she thought, and instinctively reached to touch her collar. Despite her nudity feeling somewhat liberating in solitude, the sight of these two from her recent past made her feel exposed and vulnerable once again. Nala was the first to spot her, her face lighting up with recognition.
Melissa, what a surprise to see you here.
Killian, on the other hand, had a smirk that Melissa knew all too well.
Well, look who we have here. The white girl from the health office,
he said, his eyes scanning her up and down. Melissa forced a smile, her mind racing. She was no longer at the health office under their control, but she was still a slave and still naked. And the sight of these two, who had once held power over her at the health office, made her anxious.
Hello, Nala Killian,
she greeted them, her voice cautious.
What brings you to Nalawa Bay? We're on a little break,
Nala explained, her voice kind but oblivious to the discomfort she might be causing.
Just enjoying the beach, you know. I didn't expect to see you here, though. How are you doing?
Melissa felt an urge to stand and talk with them as equals, at least as much as one could without clothes in public. But an awkwardness washed over her. After over 2 weeks in Grabesh, she understood the cultural expectation that slaves should not stand among free people. It reminded her of the duty to salute in the military, where people of a lower rank had to do a military salute when they encountered a soldier of a certain higher rank. They had to salute whether they wanted or not, and they could try to get away with not doing it, but they risked getting into trouble. And just like these soldiers had to salute those of higher rank, she had to kneel before those who were free. She could try to get away with not doing so, but she could get into trouble for what would be seen as rebellion. Against her will, Melissa had absorbed this sentiment, feeling out of place standing in their presence. She began to see herself through their eyes, and the survival instinct that had been growing within her since her enslavement compelled her to conform. She knew from experience that resisting these norms could lead to punishment or further humiliation. Her mind urged her to resist, to challenge these expectations, but the instinct to conform, to avoid drawing negative attention, was strong. With a sigh of defeat, she slowly sank to her knees. The sand felt gritty against her skin, and she felt the degradation seep into her bones. Nala stepped closer, her eyes on Melissa's ear tag. She gently touched it, turning it to inspect both sides.
"It's healed nicely,"
she observed.
"I remember when we put this on you. It's strange to see it outside the health office."
"That tag really suits you. It's like your personal ID card now,"
Killian quipped. Melissa felt a sting of shame. She hated the ear tag. It had been on her ear for more than 2 weeks now, and she had not been able to get it off. She had pleaded with Arbeck to have it removed, but they would have to pay a vet to do it, and at the moment it was more important to save money to repay the loan. As Nala inspected her ear tag, Melissa's mind flashed back to the moment Nala had fixated her into the restraining pillory, leaving her exposed in its iron grip. She recalled the surge of fear when she had realized what they were about to do to her, and the pain in her arms and legs when she had struggled against the restraint. She remembered the helplessness she had felt as she had been locked into this exposed position, unable to stop the vet from stapling the ear tag onto her. Killian chuckled.
"Your boyfriend must be enjoying having such a pretty slave at his beck and call."
His comment made Melissa's skin crawl, but she kept her composure from her knelt position.
"How's life at the health office?"
Melissa asked, trying to steer the conversation away from herself.
"I've been practicing with my cattle prod,"
Killian replied.
"Shame you aren't at the health office to practice on. I miss you."
Melissa shivered slightly at his mockery, but tried to maintain her composure.
"I'm glad I'm not there for you to practice on anymore, sir,"
Nala admonished him.
"Killian, that's not something to brag about. Remember what I told you about using it responsibly?"
Yeah. And the head nurse is always moaning about something. That old hag needs to get laid,"
Killian mused.
"Anyway, it's the same old, same old,"
Nala replied, ignoring him.
"But it's nice to get away for a bit. This place is beautiful, isn't it?"
Melissa nodded, looking up at Nala and Killian, her mind wandering to the freedom she once took for granted.
"It is. I wish I could enjoy it more,"
she said, her voice tinged with a longing for normalcy. Nala, still standing over her, remembered their previous conversation at the health office.
"Melissa, didn't you mention your boyfriend was going to free you? What happened with that?"
Melissa, still on her knees, kept her eyes downcast, not wanting to reveal too much.
He didn't free me, Mom,"
she said, her voice a mix of resignation and guardedness. She couldn't tell Nala that she was collateral for a loan because the loan had been taken out to bribe her out of the health office. Nala and Killian couldn't know that her friends had freed her. They had to continue believing that she had been transferred to another outstation. She hoped they wouldn't ask her details about what had happened after she had been picked up from the health office. Killian snickered from the side.
"Guess some promises are just too hard to keep, huh?"
Ignoring Killian's remark, Melissa admitted,
"You were right, Nala. Men don't free their slaves."
The weight of her words heavy. She remembered the conversation with Nala, how she had told her she would soon be freed. It seemed so long ago now. She added,
"Mom."
Nala sighed, her expression softening.
"That's how it is, Melissa. There's just no incentive for men to free their sex slaves. I'm sorry it turned out this way."
Killian chimed in.
"Looks like you're wearing that collar for the long haul then, huh?"
Nala gave Killian a look of disapproval before turning her attention back to Melissa.
"I hope things turn around for you soon."
"Thank you, Mom,"
Melissa murmured, the gratitude in her voice genuine but strained under the circumstances.
"Otherwise, you'll be kneeling for us free people a bit longer,"
Killian concluded. As they walked away, Melissa felt a mix of relief and resentment. She remained on her knees until they had passed her, then slowly stood up. She pondered how much longer she'd have to endure this before she could reclaim her life, her freedom, and her dignity. Melissa returned to the hut, her mind still reeling from the encounter with Nala and Killian. As she entered, she found Tariq and Amina in the living area, their faces set with concern. Tariq looked up, his expression grave.
Melissa, there's been a letter from the police for Abeg. I've opened it since he's not here. It says you need to be brought to the police station for repossession.
Her heart plummeted, and a wave of cold dread spread through her like ice water.
Repossession? But Abeg promised he would make the payments.
Her voice was a mix of confusion and anxiety. The promise of freedom seemed to be moving further away once again. Tariq shrugged his shoulders, his voice heavy with uncertainty.
I don't know what happened, Melissa. I've tried reaching him, but there's been no response.
But repossession?
Melissa's voice cracked, panic rising in her voice, her mind racing through the implications.
I won't be repossessed,
she cried, her hands clutching the collar in a frantic grip. Her fingers wrapped around the cold steel. She tugged at it, as if she could somehow free herself from this nightmare, but also in fear that this might end up as a permanent fixture on her. Tariq shook his head, trying to calm her.
We can't ignore this, Melissa. It would only make things worse. It will be easier to sort this out if we cooperate. If we don't do anything and bailiffs have to come to pick you up, it'll just increase the costs and create more issues for Abeg to deal with.
Melissa's mind raced.
But can't we do something? Try contacting Abeg again or...
I'll continue trying,
Tariq offered.
Maybe he is busy with his job interview or there is something else. We need to handle this ourselves for now. It is best to be proactive in these matters and sort this out at the police station tomorrow.
Melissa felt trapped. Her hands dropped from the collar. She wished she could just walk away from all this and reclaim her life and her dignity. But as she stood there, the reality was clear. She was at the mercy of others, and the collar around her neck was the chain that bound her to that reality. The next day was tense as Tariq and Amina prepared to take Melissa to the police station. Melissa was visibly distressed, her hands trembling. Tariq, sensing her fear, tried to reassure her.
I'll talk to the police. I'll see if we can prevent them from actually holding you on behalf of the bank. If need be, I'll pay the missing installment. There's nothing to worry about.
As they left the house, they passed by the pool area of the complex. Marcus was there, hanging out with the pensioners, but he immediately noticed the group's somber mood.
What's going on?
He asked, his gaze shifting from one to another. Tariq explained briefly.
Melissa's being called for repossession by the bank. We're heading to the police station now.
Marcus frowned, his concern genuine.
Can I come with you? For moral support?
Tariq nodded.
Sure. That would be good, Marcus. Thanks.
The walk to the police station was silent, the air thick with tension. Melissa felt as if she was being marched to her doom. Her nudity, which at times had felt liberating on the beach, now felt oppressive again. She felt the glances from passers-by on her skin, like needles. Marcus walked beside her, occasionally offering a silent gesture of support, like a gentle pat on her shoulder, mindful of her condition and the societal norms of Grabesh. When they arrived at the police station, the atmosphere was relaxed, the air inside cool and stale compared to the warmth outside. Tariq talked to the receptionist and showed them the letter they had received. As a slave, Melissa was routinely handcuffed at reception, like the last time when she had been here with Abeg. Then they nervously waited for a few minutes. Melissa and her friends sensed the tension as two officers approached Melissa and guided her further into the building. Tariq, Amina, and Marcus followed. Their faces were etched with worry. They entered a clinical room. One officer, with a dispassionate expression, pulled on medical-grade rubber gloves, the snap of latex echoing in the small space. Melissa's heart pounded, her dignity feeling like a fragile thing about to be shattered. She glanced back at her friends, her eyes wide with fear and humiliation. The sight of the gloves being lubricated sent a shiver of dread through Melissa. She knew what this meant. The officer approached Melissa, his demeanor professional, but devoid of empathy. Tariq, attempting to take control of the situation, interjected,
"Look, this is all a misunderstanding. I'll pay the overdue installment and any penalties right now. There's no need to detain her."
The officer, with one hand holding Melissa's cuffed wrists up behind her back, gently pressed her torso down against the table, positioning her so her back was against one of the legs, preventing her from straightening up. While the officer was handling Melissa, he began to explain to Tariq,
"We're taking Miss Melissa Mora into custody on behalf of the Grain and Gain Bank."
With a gentle kick, he spread her legs apart, exposing her to everyone in the room. Melissa's cheeks flushed, and through her legs, she saw her friends' faces contorted with shock and helplessness.
"Any negotiations need to go through the bank,"
he added. As the officer's finger entered her vagina, Melissa felt a violation so profound it left her gasping. Her body tensed, her mind screaming in protest, yet she was powerless to stop this intrusion. She bit her lip hard, wishing this could have been done somewhere else, so she could maintain some dignity in front of her friends. The feeling was invasive, both physically and emotionally.
"We can't agree on settlement terms on their behalf,"
he concluded. Amina turned away, unable to witness the indignity, her fists clenched in silent fury. Tariq, accustomed to the treatment of slaves in Grabesh, was nonetheless grappling with guilt, his resolve hardening to resolve this issue. Marcus was shocked as well to see Melissa treated like this, but under a layer of concern for her, he felt a twinge of desire. The sight of Melissa, so vulnerable and controlled, stirred a dark curiosity in him. He wished that he was the one in command of her, that he was the one she submitted to so unconditionally. She would no longer reject him then. He quickly masked his thoughts with a look of worry, but the thought lingered.
"I'll talk to them,"
Tariq said.
"Look, officer, I understand the situation, but can't we come to some kind of temporary solution here? Melissa could be released into my custody until this is all sorted out with the bank. I assure you she'd remain in Grabesh, available for any further legal proceedings or discussions with the bank. This way, we avoid the immediate need for repossession."
As the officer was pushing in his finger and twisting it in Melissa's vagina, he paused to turn to Tariq and replied,
"I understand, but the bank's priority is ensuring their asset, Miss Mora, remains accessible due to the default. She has to be held here to ensure that..." "But she's followed all local laws and customs,"
Tariq argued.
"She's no flight risk. She's cooperative and respectful. I'll personally guarantee her behavior. There's no call for such severe action."
The officer concluded with Melissa's vagina and moved to her anus. The officer applied some more lube to his gloved fingers. As he was pushing his finger into her anus, she couldn't help but groan, the sensation both painful and humiliating. Her friend's presence made it even more excruciating. Being subjected to this in front of those who knew her as a person, not merely as property, made it worse. The officer turned to Tariq and replied,
"I see your point, but the bank's primary concern right now is ensuring the assets, in this case, Miss Mora, is accessible to them due to the payment failure. The bank has implied that the police hold her to guarantee that."
Melissa was trying to suppress groaning to not direct attention to her. But as he pushed his finger in so deeply, she couldn't help but groan again.
"But consider her character, officer. Melissa has complied with every local custom and law since she's been here. She's not a flight risk. She's been cooperative and respectful. I can vouch for her behavior, and I assure you, there's no need for such drastic measures.
With his finger still wriggling and twisting within her, the officer replied,
I hear what you're saying, but the repossession order is in place. For that to change, you'll have to negotiate with the bank or seek a court order.
Tariq's jaw clenched, realizing his pleas were futile against bureaucratic procedure. His frustration was evident. Finally, the cavity search was over, leaving Melissa feeling shaken. The officer gently pushed her down towards himself, and Melissa sank to her knees to kneel before him. Amina asked with worry in her voice,
Will she be locked up with criminals? That could be dangerous for her.
No, she won't be with criminals,
the officer assured her as he took his gloves off.
Miss Mora isn't a criminal. She's being held on behalf of the Grain and Gain Bank. She will be kept separate, with no contact with other inmates.
The officer clipped a leash into the D-ring of her collar. She was led away, her movements mechanical, her mind numb with shock. As she was led out, Tariq caught her eye, his voice urgent.
Melissa, I'll contact Abek, see what happened, and talk to the Grain and Gain Bank. We'll get you out as soon as possible.
Melissa nodded. She felt betrayed by fate, by Arbek's absence, and by a system that viewed her as mere property. She was led into a small, cold cell where the door clanged shut behind her. The reality of her situation sank in. She was now truly at the mercy of legalities she couldn't control. Tariq's expression was one of determination mixed with guilt. He felt responsible for her plight, even though he knew it wasn't his fault. Amina was visibly shaken, her usual composure shattered by the spectacle they had just witnessed. Marcus was trying to come to terms with his feelings towards Melissa. His mind was racing with thoughts of how he could help, how he could get Melissa out of this. In the cell, Melissa was alone with her thoughts. She laid down on the bed. Her emotions were a tumultuous sea: anger, fear, despair, and the persistent thought that none of this should be happening. She should have been free by now, on the plane back to England with Arbek a few days ago. Instead, she was locked in this cell, naked and collared, with no choice but to wait what would happen to her.